It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For the first time in 5 years, overdose deaths involving opioids declined slightly in our country in 2023. That's according to newly released preliminary data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And Wisconsin is among the states showing a decrease in opioid deaths compared to the previous year.
A new walk-in clinic in Madison is on the front lines of the addiction crisis. It's for people seeking treatment for substance use disorder, regardless of their ability to pay. The clinic offers prescription medications for opioid use disorder, basic wound care, and hepatitis testing.
Dr. Elizabeth Salisbury-Afshar is medical director of this clinic called Compass. She is an associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Salisbury-Afshar, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've talked with the Department of Health Services, and they're saying that there are no other clinics like Compass in Dane County. What sets this clinic apart?
There are a couple of things that I think make us really unique. The first is that we very much developed the clinic to make sure that we would be able to take folks who are walking in. So you don't need an appointment to come to our clinic. It's set up predominantly as a walk-in clinic. And we will see, you know, anyone who comes in that day. And usually pretty quickly, it's first come, first serve. So if three people walk in all at the same time, of course, we have to sort of see folks in the order that they come. But we've had really good experiences with being able to see people right away. And then the second thing is that in addition to providing medications for addiction treatment, and that's really our focus, is on supporting people who use substances, and particularly with opioid use disorder, but we're happy to see folks with other substance use disorders as well. So in addition to providing those addiction treatment services, we also provide some other medical services that we know a lot of folks who use substances can have trouble accessing. And that's sort of the second piece that makes us really unique. So we can see individuals who might have wound care needs. So maybe they have some wounds associated with injection drug use. We can do that in our clinic. We can treat hepatitis C. Lots of folks who inject drugs, or many folks who inject drugs, can acquire hepatitis C. And so our clinic offers, you know, really immediate access to hepatitis C treatment, which not only helps the individual, but helps protect others in the community from getting hepatitis C. We're able to offer some vaccinations in our clinic. We offer STI testing and treatment. And also for folks who can become pregnant but don't want to be, we can offer some basic contraceptive services. So really the immediate access walk-in model. I should have mentioned, we can also see individuals who don't have any insurance. So we can really see anyone is probably the one of the unique elements. And then the second unique element is all of the additional services that we're able to offer.
And just crossing your threshold, that is a huge step in itself. And I just wonder, what might someone say when they walk in the door of Compass?
Yeah, so and that's a great point, because I should also acknowledge we are sort of co-located in a bigger clinic called Behavioral Health and Recovery, or BHR. And so if someone were to walk in the door, they would just say, you know, there's a very standard medical sort of clinic setting, and they would just say, I'm here for Compass program, or, you know, I'm here for medications for addiction, or whatever it might be. And that really starts the registration process. And usually our nurse comes out right away to greet people, sort of figure out what they're looking for, make sure we can offer it. And if by chance they're looking for something that we can't offer, we'll help them figure out where they should go and what the next steps might be. And so our front desk staff are really lovely. We couldn't do our work without them. And they'll really help people kind of figure out, you know, what it is they're looking for, and make sure that Maddie, who's our nurse, or whoever, you know, if she has someone filling in for her that day, comes out and checks in with people really quickly, just to make sure, again, that they feel welcome and that we're getting them where they need to be.
Okay, so initial assessments here. The clinic opened around 4 months ago. What has demand been like?
Yeah, and so it's a good question. You know, the first few weeks it was pretty slow. And I think, it takes a little while to both get the word out on the street, so to speak. It also takes a little while for people to build trust in the community. And so we've been really fortunate. We have a lot of community partners, and our numbers have been steadily increasing over the last few months. I should mention we're only open right now on Tuesdays and Fridays. We're a grant-funded program, and that's sort of what we were able to start with. And so just in those first few months, we've seen somewhere between 30 and 50 individual patients those 2 days a week, and we've had over 100 visits. And so we are seeing numbers pretty steadily increasing, and we expect that as we continue to build trust and people feel safe coming in and talking to us, meeting with us, those numbers will continue to grow.
Have you had to turn anyone away?
We have not. I mean, there have been one or two people who have come in and asked for a service that we don't offer. So, for example, someone was looking for specifically chronic pain treatment and wanted some very specific interventions that, you know, we're not a pain clinic. So we couldn't offer that, but we are happy to sort of sit down with you and figure out where you can go for that. And then someone else came in and was really specifically looking for peer recovery services, which is a service we offer, but you don't have to get it through our clinic. And so our peer support specialist on our team sat down with that individual and said, yeah, let me talk to you about where you can go for that, and really like got them signed up for those services. And so although they didn't need any of the medical services we were offering. So again, we kind of think of ourselves as a safety net. So, you know, we will offer everything that we can. And if there's something that someone needs that we can't offer, our goal is really to help them figure out where they can go.
It sounds like you're also able to connect with other safety net services, other social services that really could help, you know, make their recovery journey more stable.
100%. And I think the reality is that most people who are struggling with substance use or sort of sequelae of substance use disorder, you know, the medical piece is an important piece, but definitely not the only one, and often not even the most important piece. And so, you know, I'll give a shout out to our peer support specialist on our team. His name is Wes. He just does a tremendous job of helping people link up with all kinds of community services, from housing to recovery residents, figuring out residential when people want that, but also thinking about vocational training. And just, I mean, he's really wonderful. And I think those are some of the services that, you know, honestly really can kind of make it or break it for people who are interested in recovery and figuring out sort of what are all the pieces that are going to need to pull together for someone to really achieve their goals.
Madison Emergency Medical Services, they recently started carrying buprenorphine, the prescription medication that treats acute opioid withdrawal. And Compass, in part, opened as a response to this initiative. Can you explain that connection there?
Sure. And so, you know, it was both EMS and the local emergency rooms. And so, you know, really at this point, we know that medications for opioid use disorder, and buprenorphine is the one that is able to be provided, you know, by EMS and in the ER. We know that that medicine saves lives, but really, if people get started on the medicine, they need a way to be able to continue it. And so if you imagine, you know, being in the ER at 2 a.m. or an ambulance call to respond to an overdose at 2 a.m., there's really no way that they're going to be able to figure out, okay, well, what insurance do you have and which program can you go to? And even if they were able to do all that, to then call the program and make an appointment is just not going to happen, right, in the middle of the night. And so they were really willing and happy to offer this service, but then where people could go became a huge challenge, right? So we can start you on the medicine, even in the field now, in the case of EMS, but then it was hard to know where to tell people to go, because really there are so many insurance limitations, and, you know, EMS can't keep track of what the wait lists are at every single program, et cetera. And so this makes it a really easy way for them to have confidence that if they meet someone who has started on buprenorphine, they can say, look, you just show up at this clinic on Tuesday or Friday, and the team there will see you. They'll make sure they get you more medicine, and they'll be able to support your other medical needs. Really gave them sort of the piece that they needed to be able to do the work that they wanted to do. because just to give someone a dose of medicine once, but without any follow-up plan, isn't going to be likely to help someone very much. But to be able to give the medicine and have confidence they have a place to follow up is, you know, sort of the system of care, largely speaking, that we're all aiming for.
Yeah, making those connection points so important. The clinic is young, but are there only so many number of chances? Like if someone tries and fails with medicine assisted treatment, can they come back and try again?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We don't even really think about someone, I mean, the door is always open. I don't know how else to say it, mm-hmm. you know. And for some folks, you know, there are just lots of life circumstances that can get in the way. And so they might come and try medicine for a week or a couple weeks, and then something happens. They're not able to make it in, or they, you know, just aren't continuing medication for whatever reason. The door is always open. And for a lot of people, things don't work the first time. And I often, you know, think about it like a diet or an exercise plan. Many of us have like set out like, okay, you know, today's the day, I'm going to start exercising every single day for this many minutes. And, you know, we all have bad days. And I think substance use is a behavior change that's not so different. Like there's sometimes when folks really feel like, okay, right now is the moment. And then sometimes it goes really well. And sometimes there are rough patches. But for us, we are really happy to see people anytime, you know, they're sort of looking to make a change. And sometimes the change, you know, I mentioned wound care, pretty much everybody who's come in so far has been there looking for medication treatments. But we are also really happy to see folks who come in and say, look, you know, I have this wound. I don't know if I'm ready to stop using drugs right now, but I really want to get medical treatment so it doesn't get worse. We're happy to see those folks as well. We really view any opportunity for engagement as a positive one. And if people are interested in improving their health, whatever that looks like for them, we're super happy to see them.
We're talking about this new clinic in Dane County serving people with opioid use disorder, free walk-in services. We have UW Health Addiction Medicine physician Elizabeth Salisbury Afshar, who is medical director at Compass. Dr. Salisbury Afshar, in terms of other referrals, Dane County Jail referring patients to Compass, what is the experience like for people who are exiting incarceration and have a substance use disorder?
Sure. So, so far, I think that most of the referrals we've gotten from the jail have been specifically for the Vivitrol program. So Vivitrol is an injectable medicine that's extended release naltrexone. That's the generic name. So it's an injection that someone gets once a month. And locally, the Dane County Jail does have a program where they offer this medicine, usually fairly close to the point of release. And so we've had some folks come in and say, you know, I want to continue this injection. Can I get it here? And the answer is absolutely yes. We do stock the medicine. And so our goal is that if someone's leaving incarceration and they're looking for any form of medication treatment, we are so happy to see them. And we can, again, sort of we're able and on the day that they show up to give that repeat injection if they're due. If they're not due, then we'll bring them back at about that 4-week mark. We also are offering hepatitis C treatment. And so making sure that folks are aware that if they've been given a diagnosis of hepatitis C, that's something else that we can initiate in our program.
There are these peer support specialists at the clinic. How are they helping to support patients who walk in and making sure that their needs are going to be met and they're in the right place?
So our peer support specialist or recovery coach, they go by sort of different titles. Mm-hmm. We have one peer in clinic every day that we're open, and they are one of the first individuals that meet with patients on their first visit. And they're working with our nurse to figure out, okay, what are your needs? You know, do you have safe housing? Do you have transportation needs? Do you have food insecurity, right? What are all the possible resources we might be able to help you link up with? So that's one of the first things they're doing. And then they're also saying, you know, hey, would it be helpful if I give you a phone call in between visits? Or would it be okay if I stop in next time you're here and just check in on how things are going? And so they're both helping with linking with community resources that might be very specific to recovery, but might just be more general related to sort of general needs for survival and living. And so they do all of that work in addition to really being someone to listen and understanding what it's like to go through, you know, some of the hard experiences that people struggling with addiction often have faced, and kind of just being that peer, someone to listen, someone to talk to. So they play a really critical role on our team.
Stepping back from the clinic for a moment and looking overall at how to tackle this addiction crisis, and we saw these new figures from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention signaling that drug overdose deaths related to opioids fell slightly in 2023. This is the first time in 5 years, still preliminary data there, but what will it take to continue this decline?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, there was a decline, or at least we think a small decline, but the numbers are still just way too high, right? These are preventable deaths. And I wish, I really believe, right, if there was a single thing that we could do to make this go away, I would like to believe we would have done it. But I think the reality is this is a really complex societal problem. And we have to look a little bit upstream and think really broadly about what are all the factors that have gotten us to where we are. And so I think, you know, I think it's housing. I think it's educational opportunities. I think it's living wage jobs. I think it's treatment access, and not just substance use disorder treatment, but mental health treatment. I think it's figuring out ways to interrupt cycles of trauma and poverty, because all of these factors are contributing, as is the really unstable drug supply. In particular, you know, every time I feel like I open my computer or read the news, there's sort of a new novel substance being cut into the drug supply. And so people who are using substances don't know often what they're getting, which increases the risk. And so it's sort of this, you know, really complex interplay of all of these factors. And so what I really think it's going to take is all of these different sectors continuing to work together. And I don't mean to imply that we're not already, but, you know, there's a lot more work to be done. And when you work with folks who use substances, you know, we really need to include them at the table when we're talking about solutions, because they're the ones having these experiences. And so, you know, definitely reducing stigma, definitely moving away from really punitive models that have historically focused on incarcerating people. We know that incarceration is not a treatment for addiction, right? We have evidence-based services for addiction, and incarceration is not one of them. Continuing to expand access to naloxone. So again, so many pieces to this puzzle, and really it's going to take all of us working together in a really thoughtful way to make sure that we continue to move things in the direction that we want to see them, which is, of course, less death and improved wellness in our community at large.
Dr. Salisbury Afshar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks again so much for having me.
Dr. Elizabeth Salisbury Afshar is Medical Director of Compass in Madison. It's a new walk-in clinic for people with substance use disorder. Recovery from addiction is possible. For help, call the free and confidential treatment referral hotline. That number is 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP, or visit findtreatment.gov.
You're listening to Wisconsin Today, and when you're looking for the top news from around the state, check out WPR's podcast called Wisconsin Today Morning News. It's available now. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts or at WPR.org.